بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الصلاة والسلام على سيد المرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا ربنا لك الحمد كما ينبغي لجلال وجهك لعظيم سلطانك سبحانك لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك اللهم صل وسلم وبارك على سيدنا وحبيبنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته الحمد لله الحمد لله الذي هدانا لهذا وما كنا لنهتدي لولا أن هدانا الله الحمد لله الذي أنزل على عبده الكتاب ولم يجعله عوجا الحمد لله رب العالمين الحمد لله الله سبحانه وتعالى has blessed us tremendously. I apologize. I had to do some filming today and ran late. So in any case, so I decided to take advantage of the limited time we have to talk briefly about the election. And welcome to Trumpville. Trump world. And but you know, actually, it flows very nicely into what we intended to talk about in terms of Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. So if we go through the progression of his speech, he says, as we mentioned many times, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Ayyuhan nas, inni qad wulitu alaykum wa lastu bi khayrikum fa ahsantum fa aynuni wa in asattu fa qawimuni. الصدق أمانة والكذب والكذب خيانة الضعيف فيكم قوي عندي حتى آخذ له حقا والقوي فيكم ضعيف عندي حتى آخذ منه الحق إن شاء الله. So this is where we left off last week, the issue of justice, that the weak with you is strong with me until I secure for him the right that's owed to him. And the strong with you is weak with me until I secure or take from him the right that he owes to others. And one thing that the nature of this electoral campaign and the nature of the personality of Donald Trump, the kind of bullying personality, exploiting the vulnerabilities of people to encourage others, to rally around calls to exploit those vulnerabilities, this is exactly what Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is warning against. So he's saying the weak amongst you, the minorities, the disenfranchised, the historically oppressed individuals or groups or classes amongst you are strong with me. قَوِيٌ عِنْدِي حَتَّى أَخُذَ لَهُ حَقَّ until I secure for him or her or them the right that's owed to them. And where, and then on the other hand, وَالْقَوِيُّ فِيكُمْ ضَعِيفٌ عِنْدِي حَتَّى أَخُذَ مِنْهُ الْحَقِّ إِنْشَاءَ. And the one strong with you is weak with me until I take from him or her the right that they owe to others. And so now we get the exact opposite message. The weak with you have no advocacy with me. So if you're minority, if you're a Muslim, if you're an immigrant, if you're etc., you have no standing with me. It's the exact opposite of what Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu is trying to establish in terms of political morality. And one reason so many people are unsettled and shocked and unraveled by these developments last night is that they feel vulnerable and caught out and weak and exposed, and no one to speak for them. Abu Bakr is saying the exact opposite. And so we should understand that Allah is our protector. The Sahaba, they were in that situation when it seemed like the whole world was against them, and no one to advocate for them, and no one to protect them, and no one they could appeal to. And Allah Ta'ala records that in the Quran. الَّذِينَ قَالَ لَهُمُ النَّاسُ إِنَّ النَّاسَ قَدْ جَمْعُوا لَكُمْ فَخْشَوْهُمْ فَزَادَهُمْ إِيمَانًا وَقَالُوا حَسْبُنَا اللَّهُ وَنِعْمَ الْوَكِيلُ Those who the people said that the hosts are gathering against you, fear them. It only increased their faith. And they said, Allah suffices us. What an excellent one to depute our, entrust our affair to. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. So this is, if we feel ourselves weak or vulnerable, caught out, unrepresented, this is the time we should be saying, Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. And that's where the strength of faith comes. Because at the end of the day, what we can do for each other is limited. At the end of the day. Because we're limited in terms of our capacities. وَخُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. The human has been created weak. But with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we tap into an unlimited source of strength and power. So when they despaired of the people helping them, that's when they turned to Allah. And when they turned to Allah with ikhlas and with sincerity and with faith and with iman, they realized, we don't need anything, anyone other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. Hasbunallahu wa ni'mal wakeel. And so Allah suffices us. What an excellent one to entrust our affair to. La ilaha illallah. So this is the time for us. And then, so then Abu Bakr, after saying that, what does he say? وَلَا يَدْعُ أَحَدٌ مِنْكُمُ الْجِهَادَ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَدْعُهُ قَوْمٌ إِلَّا دَرَبُهُمُ اللَّهُ بِالذِّلِّ. But let no one of you leave off struggling for the sake of Allah. Because verily no people leave off struggling except that Allah afflicts them with humiliation. And so many people, so many Muslims are feeling humiliated because we're not struggling. We're not struggling. If we were struggling, and if we were joining forces with, like a lot of people who are more disenfranchised, higher rates of unemployment, more abused by the system, Trump is just another day in the hood. You know, I mean, people aren't sweating. Seriously, it's like, mashallah, Trump, okay, we could deal with this Trump. Because it's just another day in the dunya. That's all it is at the end of the day. The world didn't change last night. The sun came up this morning. The birds were chirping. Like if you close your eyes right at Fajr. The birds were doing their thing. The clouds were floating across the sky. The butterflies were fluttering. They're disappearing. Not as common as they used to be. But the world didn't change. It just presented a new set of tests and challenges for us. It's just a new set of tests and challenges. And that's why the struggle is important. So if we're accustomed to struggling, we just say, okay, this is just another round in the fight. It's just another round in the fight. Because we're used to struggling. And because we're used to struggling, we get tough. Right? Al-hilm bit-tahallum. Forbearance comes through forbearing. Wal-ilm bit-ta'allum. And knowledge comes through studying. وَالصَّبْرُ بِالتَّصَبُّرُ. Patience comes through exercising patience. And our ability to struggle comes through struggling. It strengthens us. It toughens us. A fighter doesn't just get into the ring on fight day. They have a sparring partner. They get used to fighting before the actual match comes. They train, they spar. And so when the match comes, they've conditioned themselves for the rigor of the actual match. And so as a community, we have to be a community that becomes accustomed to struggling. And some elements in our community are. And those just say, you know, it's just another round in the fight. But those not used to struggle, oh my God, what's going to happen? Should we leave America? فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ Where are you going to go? فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ Where are you going to go? Syria? I don't think so. Iraq? Not right now. Pakistan? A lot of you thinking about it, then you think twice. فَأَيْنَ تَذْهَبُونَ Somalia? Nah. Give it a few more years. Yemen? Not right now. Your house might be bombed. Bombing anything that moves. And so this is where Allah put us, brothers and sisters. And He put us here to struggle. And the greatest struggle, a lot of people are shaken up because they're like, you know, all these white folks voted for Trump. Like, what does my neighbor really think about me? What is my coworker? What is my boss? What do they really think about me? You know, I thought everything was cool. I drove by, had a big Trump sign in his yard, and looking at me funny this morning. What's up? And so, started the racism. And it wasn't just racism, let's be clear. I'm not trying to say that. But if we dismiss the racist or the racial aspect of the analysis, we're just being foolish. Mm-hmm. Now, all of the dog whistle politics, make America great again, take back our country. Mm-hmm. And from whom? From the darkies. Mm-hmm. Obama, they say the white lash. That's an aspect of it. And we can't dismiss that. And it's a nagging reality that has qualified American history from the inception, the Revolutionary War, a slave who were exclusively Africans for representational purposes. People forget that. Not for recognizing the even partial humanity of the slave, for representational in drawing up congressional districts. The slave will be reckoned as three-fifths of a human being, three-fifths of a man. The race is an issue. Civil War. Race is the issue. Dawn of the 20th century. What does W.E.B. Du Bois, what does he say? The problem of the 20th century will be the problem of the color line. Race is an issue. Half a century later, Brown versus the Board of Education. Race is an issue. 10 years after that, Watts and Newark, North Philly, South Hartford, North Hartford, Connecticut, Cleveland, Ohio. We mentioned Newark, New Jersey, Washington, D.C. These cities are on fire. And what are those riots called? They're called race riots. Race is an issue. And now half a century after that, race is still an issue. I firmly believe that the reason Allah put Muslims here is to be the community that takes on the problem of race. Because even though, and you know, they're streaming this. There's some person out there that hates Muslims. Like, you know what, look at Muslims, they racist themselves. That might be true to some extent for some Muslims. But it's the power of Islam that brought us together here. Right here we have Arabs, South Asian, people of African descent, European descent. Who knows what else? Joined together, one common denominator, Islam. Islam. Malcolm X wasn't a stupid person. A lot of people didn't agree with Malcolm X. But no one accused Malcolm X of being a stupid person. So when he went to Mecca and he observed the Ummah, what did he say? Maybe if America will consider Islam, it will be able to solve the race question. If people reject Malcolm, Arnold Toynbee, definitely the great historian, is not a stupid person. And Toynbee, in his book, Civilization on Trial, he said there's two things Islam can offer Western civilization. A solution to the problem of alcohol, and by qiyas and drugs. Look, how many people between being alcoholics, addicted to opiates, like medical opiates, like Rush Limbaugh, illegal opiates, heroin, marijuana, cocaine, millions, tens of millions, if not 100 million, a third of the population. That's a problem. He said Islam can solve that problem. And he said Islam can solve the race problem. And I firmly believe that one of the wisdoms in Allah bringing large numbers of Muslims to this country is to solve the race problem. And that being the case, Allah set it up perfectly. So don't look at the advent of Trump as a threat. There's some threatening undercurrents there. The alt-right moving into mainstream politics. Just today, these Ku Klux Klan people in Texas or Louisiana talking about we are the establishment now. So there's some threatening, but more than that, it's an opportunity. That's how we have to look at it. We have to look at it as an opportunity to let people know the power of Islam through our each and every one of us as an individual, that I'm not going to be deterred, I'm not going to be crestfallen, I'm not going to be depressed because of this climate of hate that's been unleashed. I'm going to maintain my dignity. You think people don't notice that? And I'm going to keep my head up high. And I'm going to speak the truth whenever I have an opportunity. And I'm going to take pride in my religion because it has much good and it can offer much good to this country and to the people of this country who are confused and who are desperate. You have to be desperate to go for Trump. And a lot of people, who else is speaking for our issue? So you have this racist element, but that's a marginal fringe element. Believe me. Then you have the disenfranchised. You have the dispossessed. You have the neglected. They voted for Obama in 2008. Every swing state, they're just a bunch of rednecks in Indiana and Florida and Ohio and Virginia. Well, Hillary won Virginia. Iowa. Obama won all of those states in 2008. Same people, same percentage of white folks vs. black folks. Didn't change much. Like 90, over 90% in most of them. Not in Ohio. Probably in Iowa. Or North Carolina. Obama won North Carolina. Well, North Carolina. Not so, that doesn't hold. Obama won all those southern states. He won Florida. He won North Carolina. He won all those Midwestern states that would have turned the tide for Hillary. He won Michigan. He won Ohio. He won Illinois. Hillary won Illinois. He won Iowa. He won Wisconsin. So, it's not just race. There are a lot of people out there who feel they've been neglected. They feel that their American dream has been transformed into an American nightmare. And Trump's the only one that offered them some solace as they see it. So, it's not just race. So never underestimate opportunity that you have, brothers and sisters. Never underestimate the opportunity that we have as a community. But we're going to have to struggle. We're going to have to struggle. As our Syrian brothers and sisters would say, "Ma biji belash." Like, it doesn't come cheap. It doesn't come free. أَحَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَنْ يُتْرَكُوا أَنْ يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do people think they'll be left alone merely saying we believe and not be tested? وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ. We tested those who preceded them. فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ. And Allah will show which of them are truthful and which of them are liars. So as much as this is a moment of truth for this country, a moment of truth for our community, are we going to shrink back, hide, just put our heads in the sand and pray that it all goes away? Are we going to stand up, be dignified, and struggle? And not just struggle on behalf of our community, struggle on behalf of all those people who will come after us. Struggle and join forces with all those people who preceded us, and they're still struggling. They're still struggling against the evils of racism, economic exploitation, and mass incarceration, and all of these ills that are in our society. So it's our responsibility, brothers and sisters, to be motivated by our prophetic teachings, to be uplifted and inspired by the Quranic message, to go out there and do everything in our power to make a difference, to come together and to begin to organize ourselves so we can do big things, to defend what's rightfully ours. Now, I had a very sad text message from a dear friend earlier today, and just, they're just so broken. And I said, listen, you can't allow this situation to break you, because we need every one of us to join this struggle. And we can't give those negative people and those hate mongers and those fear mongers the satisfaction of knowing they broke our spirit. You wouldn't give shaitan the satisfaction. These are the awliya of shaitan. We mentioned a couple weeks ago. الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا يُقَاتِلُونَ فِي سَبِيلِ الطَّاغُوتِ فَقَاتِلُوا أَوْلِيَاءَ الشَّيْطَانِ إِنَّ كَيْدَ الشَّيْطَانِ كَانَ ضَعِيفًا. Believers struggle and they fight in the way of Allah. And our fight isn't a fight of bombs and bullets. Our fight is a fight of ideas. وَكَلِيمَةُ اللَّهِ هِيَ الْعُلْيَا. The word of Allah will be uppermost. This is a fight of ideas. Racism versus brotherhood and sisterhood. Selfishness and greed versus charity and love. Hate versus love. This is the struggle. Inclusiveness versus exclusion. Community versus xenophobic bastions and silos of isolation. These are the ideas that, and so we're struggling on behalf of community. We're struggling on behalf of love. We're struggling on behalf of brotherhood and sisterhood. We're struggling on behalf of inclusion. We're struggling for the weak and the downtrodden. Our community has strength. We have education. If you look sociologically, you look at the sociological foundations of societal strength, wealth, status, education, we have all of those. We have wealth as a community. We have education as a community. We have social status as a community. We have those to use on behalf of those who lack it. Sometimes we take it for granted. Take it for granted everyone has a computer. Some people, they go to the library to use the computer. So our reality is so alien from that, that we it doesn't even, some people take the bus to get from place to place. They don't have a car. They take the bus and BART. And if the bus line doesn't go there and the BART line doesn't go there, then they go as close as they can to their destination and they walk. And you see them once in a while. You're like, man, what's he doing out here? Has somewhere to go and doesn't have a car. And the bus only goes so far. The car only goes so far. So you have to walk the rest of the way. That's a reality for a whole lot of folks. That's their reality. And so it's not most of our realities. We have to struggle for them. We have to work for them. We have to stand up and be strong for them. وَالْضَعِيفُ فِيكُمْ قَوِيٌ عِنْدِي حَتَّى أَخُذَ لَهُ حَقًا. And that's how we have to see ourselves, brothers and sisters. And we see ourselves that way, then we get some spine. We're not walking around, oh, Trump. We're walking around, Allahu Akbar, MashaAllah. Amazing opportunities. La ilaha illallah. That's how we have to see ourselves. Stop here. Any questions, comments? Yes, sir.
Was that first verse you said at the very beginning?
I don't know.
What was
the concept?
About
trusting. No. الذين قال لهم الناس إن الناس قد جمعوا لكم فاخشوهم فزادهم إيمانا وقالوا حسبنا الله ونعم الوكيل. آل عمران, like 150 something. These guys know. It's in that thing, sure, it's in the 150s, 153, something like that. آل عمران, Surah 3. In the 150s, inshallah. Any other questions? Comments?
So
yes.
In medieval age, when they have children, they give them a name.
When they act?
Child born, they give a name that doesn't sound like Arabic name. It could be identified like Muslim. They give like a name that's in common between Jews and Muslim. And another thing, some people also nowadays.
Oh, names like Adam?
Yeah, Adam, always, yeah. Jacob. And
Labats. No, there's nothing wrong with that. Because they're Quranic names. Adam fil Quran. وَعَلَّمَ أَدَمَ الْأَسْمَاءَ كُلَّهَا. Adam fil Quran. Sami. Sami is a beautiful name. Exalted. Sama. Sama yasmu.
But the concept
behind. For who is Sami?
They like to hide the identity. The others, well, they ask him, where are you from? They don't say I'm from, you know, Muslim country, you're from South America or other countries,
well, inshallah, they'll get strong by, because of your example. They'll see you representing. Where are you from?
I'm from Yemen.
Yemen. And what's your name?
Amin.
Amin. Say, what's your name? You want the Muslim darn tootin' I am. What's your name? Amin. Amin the dream. And that was our Prophet's nickname, by the way. Al-Amin. Where are you from? I'm from Yemen. He said, well, you guys just fighting and bombing. Well, stop selling Saudi Arabia the bombs and we won't be bombing each other. And then people see you, man, I'm going to represent like Amin. Allahu Akbar. So you'll be an inspiration. So pray. Al-mu'min al-qawi khayrun wa ahabu ilallahi min al-mu'min al-da'if wa fi kullin khayr. So the weak brother, the weak believer is still good. The stronger one's better. So don't kind of dismiss them, diss them, but pray for them. that Allah gives them strength, and then try to be a strong role model. They see Amin, they're like inspired. You know, if Amin can do it, I can do it. I'm going to work tomorrow. So Amin just walked up in there. What? What? Oh, nothing. Nothing. So he can do it, I can do it. Allahu Akbar. No, sisters. الله يبارك فيكم الله يتقبل منكم وزادكم الله في كل خير وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا